Welcome to the Nerd Party.
Scully?
Yes?
Marry me.
I love you and I like you.
I love you and I like you.
I love that woman. I love her more than sharks love blood.
I love you.
You don't.
This is episode 26 of Nerd Nuptial, and thank you so much for downloading or streaming or however you're listening to us. We appreciate everything that you do for us. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's like a lazy Sunday afternoon, which is nice.
This is one of my favorite times to record. I mean, I think we record on Sundays and then we release on Mondays. And so many other shows, they release on the weekends. Like, they record on the weekends, and then they release later in the week. You know, like, so many people are in different time zones, and so they have to schedule their time wisely, and usually it's on the weekend. You and I, we live together, unlike a lot of other podcasters.
That's true.
So we get to pick our own hours. But we always choose the time when we're at our laziest.
It's true. So sometimes it's like hard to actually sit down and do it. Like, we love talking to each other. It's just, I feel like we need to, like, I don't know, do it from like our pillows or something so we can be super lazy.
I have often thought, like, what could I do? What kind of system could I set up where we could lay in bed?
Just comatose.
Like. And just like snuggle up, you know, just like put the comforters all the way up to the neck. You know, maybe we could get one of those, like, Madonna mics, you know, that you wear around your head and it curves
right.
around
We probably should be talking about it, because if we actually make it happen, we don't want to, you know,
we don't want people to know.
Yeah.
That's quite possible. Well, this week, we're talking about being lazy in a roundabout way, because what caused us to watch what we're going to talk about is out of extreme laziness, because we just didn't know what else to do. What we're talking about, if you've seen the artwork on the episode, is Stranger Things. It's Netflix's latest original series, and it's an 8-episode horror sci-fi serial.
Yeah.
And we thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. Actually, I think we're probably going to start it back up again as soon as we finish this podcast, because we were just talking about it right before we started.
We said, like, yeah, we thought we'd rewatch the first episode before we did this podcast. And then by the time we finished it, we're like, okay, let's podcast. And then you said to me, we need to rewatch this.
It's true. Yeah.
And it's only 8 episodes, so it's really easy to rewatch.
Yeah. We started it on Friday night and we finished it on Saturday morning.
Saturday morning.
Yeah. So it was one of those where we just latched on and we were like, okay, we're just going to keep going.
It's really funny because, as you guys know, like, long-time listeners will know that we love House of Cards, and we watched House of Cards twice in one weekend.
Yeah.
And where we started it on Friday, finished it on Saturday, podcasted about it late at night, and then rewatched it on Sunday.
Yeah, because we're crazy.
Because we're absolutely insane. But the thing is, though, is that you know how much we love House of Cards. Stranger Things, we love it that much, we want to rewatch it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't say I love it as much as House of Cards.
No.
But it's completely different. So.
No, it's a very different feel.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I feel like Stranger Things was kind of... We had just watched Twin Peaks, so there was a lot of things where I was like, that's kind of similar to Twin Peaks. Mm-hmm. Kind of like Fringe, X-Files meets Twin Peaks.
Yeah, it's very much, yeah. X-Files meets Twin Peaks.
Yeah. I think so, yeah. Which was kind of fun.
Okay, so for those of you who don't know what Stranger Things is it's about a disappearance of a young boy. What would you say, 12?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, 12.
11 or 12, somewhere around in there. It's about a disappearance of a young boy. Winona Ryder is his mom, and he has three really close friends, and they're all geeks. They're all AV nerds and play Dungeons and Dragons and everything like that. And the boy went missing under like weird circumstances. And the more that they investigate why this boy went missing, more people go missing. And we as the audience know that it's paranormal, where there's this alternate dimension, there's this monster. And it's just, it takes place in 1983 in a small town in Indiana. And so it has a very cool 80s horror feel to it.
Yeah. We were like jamming out to the credits sequence is like very Tron-esque music and
it's
stuff.
Like Tron mixed with Stephen King. Like it's, yeah. It's synthesizer mixed with like red lettering and it's just very
fun.
Old school.
Yeah.
And they it's an obvious stylistic choice
mm-hmm.
where they like even the intro like has the text shakes a little bit like it's on film.
Yeah.
And has some
it's
film
awesome.
Grain to it. It's a lot of fun. So this is going to be a spoiler-filled review.
Yes.
Now, the Netflix show has been out for over two weeks now.
We're a little slow on this.
So we're slow on this, guys. So don't think that we're jumping the gun. We want you guys to see it. So if you have not watched it, watch it. It'll take like a day or two maximum.
Yeah.
To watch it if you're hardcore like we are. And so, yes, this is going to be very spoiler-filled. Again, if you have not watched it, do not listen to the show. Download it, save it, and then listen to it after we talk about it.
Yes.
All right. So, first impressions. Actually, no. We usually do first impressions. Let's not do first impressions.
Okay.
Let's talk about how we actually ended up watching it.
Well, okay. So, we were looking for a new show because we were kind of in that shoal hole, as they talk to say, where we're...
You hate that term,
I
and
know.
Yet you perpetuate it all the time.
I know, but, like, what else do you call it? I don't know. But it's one of those things where we're like, we've watched that, we've watched that, we've rewatched that so many times,
yeah,
we need something new.
Yeah, I was not in the mood to rewatch something.
Yeah, exactly. And so we were kind of skipping around and trying different things, and certain things were like, not really us.
Oh, we tried Penny Dreadful.
Yeah, I couldn't handle it.
Yeah. Like, I was super excited because it's a Showtime show and we don't have Showtime,
mm-hmm.
so I never really get to watch anything on that network.
Yeah.
But then they released it on Netflix, and I just read a really interesting article from the showrunner as to why he only did 3 seasons, and no one knew that he was only going to do 3 seasons, and no one knew that the series finale was actually the series finale until they watched it.
It's true.
I thought that was so interesting and so fascinating, and I really liked what he had to say about the character's growth and everything, so I was like, okay, I'll give this a shot. But... it's very freaky.
It's
very
freaky.
Dark.
Yeah, and right now I'm kind of in this state where I can't handle anything too freaky. So I'm like, all right, so let's watch something else that's a little bit lighter.
Yeah, like there was this one scene where possession, like she's possessed
I can't deal with
you
that.
You can't handle possession.
I can't. It freaks me out. And she did a really good job.
Ava Green is an amazing actress.
She is.
I love her to death. I think she's fantastic. But yeah, my sister's the same way, where like she can handle zombie gore and vampire
mm-hmm.
gore and everything like that, everything mystical. But if you show someone possessed, she'll freak out.
Yeah, that's kind of me, or like people being really twisted.
Mm-hmm.
That's usually also a problem.
Yeah.
But
we were like, okay, well, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, it was stylistic. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was interesting. But I don't know if I could handle it right now. So we decided, okay, well, what's the other show that we had heard of? And your parents had brought up that they had tried Stranger Things.
Yeah, what happened was is that I saw that it was released on Netflix. And I saw the artwork and I was like, oh, that's a throwback trailer. Not trailer. I didn't even see the trailer. Like, that's a throwback poster. So that's pretty interesting. It felt like a Spielberg poster
mm-hmm.
from the 80s. And... we didn't get a chance to watch it. You know, we've been crazy busy lately. Like, this is our first weekend off in a long time. But then we go down and see my parents, and they're talking about new shows on Netflix because they're big Netflix watchers like we are. And I asked them, I was like, oh, did you check out the new Netflix show, Stranger Things, with Winona Ryder and Matthew Modine? And immediately my mom goes, ugh. Just, ugh. Like, oh, it's horrible, Tristan. We're talking C-movie acting. And we just don't know what they were doing. And also, there was this skirt. I don't know what this girl
She's
was doing.
Kill you.
I don't know why this girl was wearing this skirt, but it was horrible, Tristan. Yeah, mom and dad listen to this show. Like, they listen to our show and they love our show.
You're going
to
get a text.
They're going
or a phone call.
They're going to be very angry with me. But the thing is that my mom has very good taste. She's a voracious reader. She knows what she likes and she knows what she doesn't. She's an Anglophile. She loves British stuff. And so sometimes she has really highfalutin taste. Sometimes, you know, whatever. She just likes to have fun. But there's certain things that will just stick in her brain where she will get fixated on something where, like, I'll be asking her, I'll be like, how was the story? How was the writing? And she's like, the skirt, Tristan, was horrible that this girl was wearing. And I'll say, like, well, was it, you know, like, was it too dark? She's like, yes, it was very hard to see in certain spots. I'm like, no, what? Was it dark as in gruesome?
Not literally dark.
Not literally dark, Bob. But they didn't like it. My mom and dad, they didn't like it.
Yeah. I would say, I think I'm going to recommend it to my parents, and I'm going to tell them, get past the first episode and see how... I've liked the first episode, but I think that it kind of really picks up.
Yeah.
Once yes. you get past the first episode, I think.
Yeah.
But I think it's still interesting.
See, they didn't even finish the first episode, which I think is too bad because... it's done really well, and it ends on a really interesting cliffhanger. It goes in a direction you didn't expect it to go. And so I texted them and said, we loved it, you should try it again. And they're like, oh, okay, maybe. So I think they are. I think as we're recording this, they're actually
trying
giving
it again.
Another try.
Well, that's yeah. good. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. I really enjoyed the acting throughout.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really well done. Especially little kids. I thought that they, like, it's really hard to get a lot out of small children. And so, you know, I thought that they did a really good job and they picked really believable kids.
That's the thing is that.
They were very believable.
I was a little worried, like, when the scene opened after the credits opening title sequence. And then we open up on four kids playing Dungeons and Dragons. I was a little concerned because I don't normally like watching things that has kids in it.
It's true.
Just because I don't really like kid actors. I've worked with kid actors and they're just as horrible as they sound. I don't like watching them.
I have not had that same experience. But...
Yeah, you've had a very nice experience working with kid actors, but I have not. And it's just like sometimes they're kids and so you have to suspend a lot of disbelief with acting ability where it's just like, okay, they're not old enough to be seasoned actors, so we need to give them a little credit. But... these kids, I think, did a great job.
Oh, yeah. And I think they were very lovable, too. Like, I think definitely by probably the third episode, I kept wanting to see scenes with them in it.
Mm-hmm.
The kid scenes were probably what made it for me. Like, I really wanted to see that storyline the most. So it was interesting.
Yeah, I think everyone did a really stellar job. And it was really interesting because when it starts out you think like, okay, you know, like you have the nerdy little brother and the hot older sister in high school, you know, she has a not so attractive best friend, and then she's starting to get into the cool crowd, you know, like it's just like, okay, I've seen this movie, you know, I've seen this
stereotypical
TV show.
Yeah,
very stereotypical. But they start taking it in very different directions. Like, you think they're going to go one way, then they go another. And also, those storylines that you thought you were going to groan at that were going to be stereotypical start becoming really interesting.
Well, like, and, name one that you're thinking of.
Well, I'm thinking about the hot high school girl, you
okay.
know, like...
Nancy,
yeah. Like, okay, so Nancy is the sister of the best friend of the kid who goes missing.
Right, Mike.
Mike. And you think that her story is just going to be boring. It's just going to be like, oh, you know, like she loses her virginity to a jerk and, you know, like she falls in with the wrong crowd. And you're just like, okay, this is just so boring. We've seen that a million times. But the thing is that even the quote unquote jerk that she sleeps with has an arc.
Yeah, and, he does.
You know, like, you know, has redemption and isn't the jerk that we thought he was. I mean, he still screwed up, but he tries to make amends. And she also... is a much more interesting character. She's not just like some dumb girl who sleeps with the first guy that gives her attention. You know, like she realizes what she's done and she doesn't, you know, like just put up with his crap and, you know, like, and it's just, I don't know.
Yeah. And she kind of becomes like a warrior at the end, you know.
Yeah, because she has to literally fight monsters.
Right. So it's just kind of cool to see those arcs where you think that it's going to be really boring and mm-hmm. then it becomes really interesting. Yeah. And I also thought it was interesting the arc where, you know, she kind of gets away from her boyfriend Stevie. Stevie.
Was he ever actually called Stevie, or do we just call him Stevie?
No, his name is Stevie. His name is Stevie. I think okay. So, yeah. Okay. And he you know, because he's, you know, been a jerk, and now she's more with Jonathan, but. And, you know, there is some, you know, there's some interest there, you can tell.
Oh, yeah. And Jonathan is the brother of the kid who goes missing. Will.
Right. But, and he's, you know, he's the awkward guy, this quiet guy, you know, he's into photography. Mm-hmm. And you think it's totally going to be, he's going to be the love interest. But because Steve has this arc, she doesn't actually end up with him, which is very interesting.
I thought it was very interesting. And but the thing is that both you and I, like when it was revealed at the very end of the show that she sticks with Stevie and doesn't go with John, we were both like, what? Why? But then I realized that is so much more interesting.
It is.
It is so much more interesting. It's and also true. It's kind of like real life.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Because I mean, who was she interested to begin with?
And who's prettier.
Right. Well, yeah.
And more popular.
I guess so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereas, you know, Jonathan probably would have been more of the friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she still appreciates him and they're friends, but nothing happened.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing is that, like, even in between, like, when she was kind of on a break with Steve, like, when she was hanging out with John, they never kissed.
Right.
They, you know, they flirted here and there with the idea, but nothing solidly happened. Yeah. Like there was no confessions of love or commitment or anything like that.
And every time she was kind of, it was like, is he your boyfriend? Mm-hmm. She was like, no. And you could tell that she really wasn't 100% mm-hmm. interested. So it was just interesting to see that. Yeah. We really connected with Barb. We felt so bad for Barb.
Okay. Just to frame. So Barb is the best friend of Nancy. And Barb is the voice of reason.
Yes.
Where she's like, Nancy, why are you hanging out with him? All he wants to do is sleep with you. You know, like, you are falling into the wrong crowd. You're going to ignore me and everything like that. And Barb, like, follows her to a party, even though she doesn't want to go. And the only reason why Nancy's there is just so that she can hang out with Steve and maybe, like, lose her flower. And, and her precious flower.
Oh, my God. Stop.
That's wrong. You want me to stick.
No, it's disturbing.
You want me to, like, okay.
Don't come with something else.
She loses her V card from her deck.
Stop.
Put it that way.
From her deck of cards?
From her deck. Oh, from her deck of cards. She lost her V card. So.
All right.
Anyway. And so what's really funny is, like, Barb, you know, like, she has these big 80s glasses.
It's awesome.
Gigantic mom jeans. The 80s sweater. And this short, tight red hair, and she's the total best friend.
Oh yeah.
And like you feel like you're watching an 80s sitcom because she is obviously the best friend.
Oh yeah.
And she gets captured and then ultimately killed by the monster.
Yeah, because she's being a good friend.
Because she's being a good friend. Like she's trying to tell Nancy, you shouldn't be here, we need to go. And then Nancy's like, no, you can just go. And she doesn't go because she loves her friend and she's hanging out by the pool. And both you and I were like, you know what? Barb deserves better.
It's true. We were like, come on. We also were like screaming at Barb to leave the party. Like, just
Barb, just go home.
Just go home.
You are too good for Nancy. And apparently, like, the rest of the internet felt the same exact
That's
way.
So funny.
Like, after we were done watching the show, I went online and I Googled Barb. That's all I did. I just Googled Barb, the word Barb. And all this fan art came up. Of like it was done in the text style of the show, and it's like, what about Barb?
Yeah, because there's a few times when you think that they forgot about Barb, but they didn't. They didn't. They were, you know, they came, you know, we figured out what happened to Barb, but you felt so bad for Barb.
So
such
bad.
A victim of the situation.
Hardcore victim with no redemption whatsoever.
It's true. It's true.
And so, yeah, there was tons of people who had drawings of her, like her in sainthood. And and
that's awesome.
And just like... And, like, one person put a tweet and said, like, in a world of Nancy's, be a Barb.
That's awesome. That's so great.
And one of the things is, like, when we watch this, I got a little sheepish because I was like, I was totally the Barb.
It's true. You were always the Barb. You were always the voice of reason.
I was always the voice of reason. I was always the kid in the corner who was like, guys, I don't think we should be doing this.
Yeah, more mature, older, like had this voice of like, yeah, this is not for me.
You're like, I don't want any beer, thanks, guys.
I was sadly not 100% Nancy, but I was not as bad as Nancy, but I was still more of that type of high schooler.
You were Nancy.
No, I was not Nancy.
You were the hot, pretty little thing in high school that everyone just showered you with attention. And you have probably had that friend who was like, I'm going to bleep that. For those of you, I accidentally said the girl's real name.
How dare you?
So you had this best friend who went, girl, you shouldn't be doing this.
Yeah, she went, girl.
Girl, you shouldn't be doing that. Stevie just wants to steal your V card.
No. But I definitely related a little bit more to being a jerk to Barb a little bit more. I was like, aw. I feel bad for Barb.
That's why we always said that, like, if we met in high school, we would not be friends.
No.
Like, at all.
Different, very different person.
Super glad that we met in college.
Yeah. Very different.
Oh, well, okay. So, but we're missing a key component. Like, well, I mean, Winona Ryder plays the mom, as we talked about, and she's trying to search for her son. But the thing is, like, weird poltergeist-type things are going on. You know, and she's like, she's getting weird phantom phone calls, lights are going in and out of her house. And so she realizes that the spirit of Will is trying to contact her through the lights. And so I thought that was a very interesting storyline.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. And also one of the walls in the house, like kind of like the monster kept trying to get through because there, like, was like portal, like,
stretching through,
yeah, which is interesting.
Very 80s horror, very, yes, 90s horror, and
yes. So yeah, I really enjoyed that. I felt like Winona's, it was kind of funny because we were like, oh wow, we're getting old, Winona is now the mom.
Yeah, Winona's the mom.
That was not the case a few years ago when we were growing up. Yeah, when we were growing up, she was the hot girl.
She was the hot girl in high school. She was the
daughter. She was the Nancy.
And then when we got a little older, she was still the hot girl, but she was the girl out on the town. Yeah. Know, and all of a sudden, boom, before you know it,
yep,
you're the mom.
She's the mom.
She did a great job, I think.
Yeah. There was a few times when I felt like her performance was a little bit one note.
It was a little over the top. It was a little bit like, my son is missing, blah.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say that I didn't enjoy watching her as much as I enjoyed some of the other cast.
I think she is my least favorite storyline, but I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I really enjoyed the light storyline, which was really cool. I enjoyed that. And I thought her response was pretty realistic to how a mom probably would respond if she felt like she was communicating with her son and, you know, not giving up hope and everything like that.
One storyline that really surprised me was the sheriff's storyline, the chief.
Yeah.
When we open up, we see that he's just this deadbeat, you know, like he's a drunk, he smokes too much, he's taking pills. And he just doesn't care about his job. He shows up an hour late, and he's like, okay, I'll handle everything later. Just one of those guys. I was just like, okay, we're going to get a stereotypical dumb cop from Hickville who doesn't know what he's doing. Ugh. But then it turns out, like, he has a past. You know, he's hiding. That's why he's not in the city. And he turns out that he's actually a really good detective who cares about the people in his town.
Yeah, and cares a lot about this case. And, you know, has this interesting backstory of his daughter that he's not letting go of, and probably, which is like what causes him to care so much about this this case. And so I really thought that they kind of teased us to think that he was one way, and then it turned into be a very interesting character that you really enjoyed watching.
And that's pretty much the entire show where it's that is the story of the show, is where they take you from a very stereotypical beginning and then make a ton of left turns, and it's really interesting.
Yeah.
Now, the most interesting storyline, and I think the person that stole the show, is Eleven, the little girl Eleven.
Amazing.
Who is probably 12 years old, around there, at the same age as the boys, and she is a phenomenal actress already.
Yeah, I mean, the way that she was able to emote with just her facial expressions, because mm-hmm. she didn't have very many lines.
No, she didn't have that many lines.
But you felt everything mm-hmm. that she was feeling, and you cared a lot about her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought she did a really great job.
She had this innocence about her, but at the same time...
Powerful.
A simultaneous strength, absolutely.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it was really cool to see how that her acting was, I think... the best out of all of them.
Out of everybody in the show. We're talking about like seasoned actors like Winona Ryder and Matthew Modine. And she stole the show. She was such a solid performance. So emotional. So great. Yeah.
Yeah. So her storyline is that she's been in this, you know, experimental...
like this government building outside of town who's doing tests on her. Like trying to develop her mental capabilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so she's got like telepathy and she can move things with
telekinesis.
And yeah, so she's super powerful and a weapon. Like they're, you know, and she can also kind of communicate with the upside down world.
That's what the alternate reality is called.
Right. Like which I thought was kind of cool.
It's called the upside down. Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you think about that? How it was just like, the reverse, like the same environment, only
it was different. It was very Silent Hill, the video game.
Okay.
Like right when I saw it, like I was just like, oh, okay, this is like Silent Hill, where it's like it's our world, but just a little bit overgrown, some smoke and ash and everything like that. It was done very cool because I like that idea where, you know, like when you hear about it from science fiction and also in real science about the parallel universes mm-hmm. that exist within ours, just in a separate level or just a little bit out of phase of our own, you know, like you think about something like that. And they showed it. It was very visually done. Well,
we describe it as evil Narnia.
described as evil Narnia because like she crawls through this stump. To get through it. And I half expected like an evil Mr. Tumnus to come by. I thought it was done very well because it was like a post-apocalyptic version of our world where there's still cars, there's still houses and buildings and everything like that, but no people, and it's like a fungus overgrown everything. I thought that was I think the name was cool too, just the upside down.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed that it was so simple.
There's a few times when it was very simple and they made the concepts relatable to the audience in a very simplistic way. But there was a few times when the kids and other characters, but mainly the kids, made some leaps to discover the plot.
Yes.
Where they're just like, oh, and this probably means this. And you're like, really? You got there all on your own?
Yeah.
Like, and that quickly?
Yeah, it's true. I think one of the moments was figuring out that he was in the house, like the kids figuring that out. I think that was one.
Figuring out that Will was actually
in the house.
Was in the upside down, but
in his home.
Yeah, there was a few moments like that where they just kind of, they jump from point A to point D.
Yeah.
And we're like, what happened to B and C? You know, like it's.
I mean, you allow it, but
yeah.
It was a little like, okay.
Yeah, I think that was probably the main criticism is that that happened a few times, but the upside down, like it felt like Silent Hill, but there was so many references within this. It was crazy. It was so cool because this Stranger Things felt like a mashup between a Stephen King novel and a Spielberg film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I definitely got that.
It was very, very cool. And they kept making references to, like, you saw posters for The Thing and Evil Dead.
Jaws.
And like, apparently even the cops' uniforms were exact replicas of the ones in Jaws.
That's so fun.
And it was just, there was so much cool stuff in there. And it's, you could tell that these, like, it was created and executive produced by the Duff brothers, or Duffer? Or is it Duffer?
I think it's
Duffer Brothers. And they're just, they're only 2 years older than I am. And so they would have barely
in the 80s.
In the 80s, because I was, my oldest age in the 80s was 3 or 4. So they would have been like five or six,
mm-hmm.
maybe 7. And so that's still pretty young to remember the 80s. But, you know, even I, who was born in 86, I still loved 80s culture. And you could tell that this was a love letter to 80s culture.
Definitely. Definitely. Yeah, you even said that when Eleven, they dress her as a girl, you know, like more up.
Yes. It was that when, like, there was, okay, so Eleven has a shaved head. And so what they did was they put her in a blonde wig and put her in a pink dress. And she looks exactly like a character from a Super NES video game. I cannot remember the title for the life of me right now. But the character looked exactly the same. And she would travel around a podunk town on bikes with a bunch of boys, you know, like fighting paranormal activity. You know, like that was a conscious decision to do that.
That's really cool.
And the show was just filled with that, with yeah. homages and everything like that. And even the ending scene where Will is looking in the mirror and spitting up the slug or whatever it was, they said was a reference to the ending scene of Twin Peaks.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
Very cool.
Yeah, I felt like when they found Will, it was a little alien-esque to me.
Oh, that was definitely, like, when they find the egg and it's half opened and they're wearing bio suits, mm-hmm. very much an alien reference.
Yeah. There. Yeah, which is interesting.
What do you think of Matthew Modine's character?
Kind of a waste.
A little bit.
I felt like anyone could have done that role.
That's the thing, is Matthew Modine is a great actor. Mm-hmm. I really like Matthew Modine. I think he's very underrated. He has not had that big of a career in this century, but he was bigger in the 80s and mm-hmm. 90s.
You met him.
I did. Yes, I did. I was lucky enough to meet a few actors when I lived and worked in Hollywood, and Matthew Modine was one of them. He was a heck of a nice guy. Like, what happened was, is I used to work for Ridley Scott Associates, and he came in to work on a movie or talk about a movie, or I can't remember why he was there, but he was at the production company and I was working there, and I was in the back room. I can't remember. I was like making copies or something like that.
Being an intern.
and then, like, I get this tap on the shoulder and I hear, "Excuse me," and I turn around and it's Matthew Modine, and I catch myself going, "Matthew Modine!" I felt like such an idiot because I was taken off guard because I was not expecting Matthew Modine to tap me on the shoulder as I'm making copies.
Sure.
And he laughs a little bit, and I, you know, I apologize. I'm like, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to just shout your name at you." And I asked him why he was here, and he talked about like some project. I think it was a TV project that he was working on, and then he said, he's like, "But I would like to know where the bathroom is." I was like, "Oh, okay." And so, like, I'm thinking, "Oh, Matthew Modine saw me and wants to have a conversation with me." No. Matthew Modine saw me and needs to know where the bathroom is.
That's so funny.
So, yeah, that's my...
That's still cool, though.
My quick little story about how I met Matthew Modine. But, yeah, I think he's... I've loved him ever since I was a kid. I mean, one of my favorite movies for a long time was Birdie with Matthew Modine and Nick Cage. I think everybody should check it out. It features the soundtrack by Peter Gabriel. I don't know how you can get much better than that out of the three things that I just described about this movie.
Sign me up.
So, yeah, it was kind of a waste, like you said. I mean, he had a great look.
Yeah, he did.
They dyed his hair white. Mm-hmm. He had a very trim suit, mm-hmm. very well put together, very domineering, mm-hmm. very intimidating.
Like, I think the scenes where he was able to show off his acting skills the most was with the Lovin' scenes where he was, you know, being that papa, which I thought was very interesting that she mm-hmm. called him papa. Yeah, but I felt like, again, I felt like he was a bigger name than the role warranted. Does that make sense? Or maybe not anymore. I don't know.
No, I wouldn't go that far. Wouldn't go that far that he's a bigger name than the role warranted. I think he's a bigger talent.
Okay.
Than the role warranted.
Because it's been such a long time since he's done something
right.
really, I mean, well, like, known.
Yeah, he's not as big of an actor as he used to be
sure.
in the 20th century. But I do feel like, I know he's talented and I know he's fantastic. And I was glad that he was able to bring that to the scenes that he was in. But I feel like, you know, I don't think it was necessary. I don't think using him was a waste, but they could have beefed up his role a little bit more. Since when you get Matthew Modine, beef up your role a little bit, mm-hmm. because I feel like that character needed some sort of gravitas. It needed to be an actor that we recognize, but not somebody that would, you know, like, detract from it, where, like, you don't want like, oh my God, what's Brad Pitt doing in Stranger Things? You know, like, obviously that's not going to happen.
You don't need that, yeah.
You don't need that, but you need someone who is a recognizable name where you're like, what's he going to do? You know, it raises mm-hmm. questions.
Yeah, I kind of wanted a little bit more of him. Like, I wanted more maybe backstory or maybe more of, you know, how he had gotten to where he was and how he had, like, mm-hmm. you know, because they kind of went into a little bit of Eleven's backstory of, you know, her mom and her real name
being bit,
Jane.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted a connection somehow back to that
mm-hmm.
Before they kind of did, you know, went away with that, how they ended the story.
Right, right.
Yeah.
They, you know, like the look of Eleven, like that actress was just so cool. And like she'd barely done anything before, like just like maybe 4 TV spots or something like that. And they told her that she needed to shave her head. And, you know, she's an 11-year-old girl. I mean, she had long hair. That's hard for anybody, especially, a young girl growing up. And but then I found out what they did was they showed her a picture of Charlize Theron from Mad Max Fury Road.
No way.
And about how awesome she looks. And they said, like, this is how awesome you're going to look. And she's like, okay.
Aw, that's so cute.
How cool is that?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
One of the thing, like one other reference that I read about that was really cool is that at the beginning, in the first episode, Will, the kid who gets lost, is racing his friend Dustin, and on their bikes, and Dustin says, "Okay, if you beat me, you can have any comic book." And Will beats him and says, "Like, okay, I want X-Men 134." Well, I looked it up, and X-Men 134 is the story about Jean Grey when she gets mistreated. And mentally tortured, she releases a telekinetic being of herself and wreaks havoc using telekinesis and everything like that. And
that's just, very cool.
That's the thing. That's yes. how in-depth the show is.
Yes. Oh, I loved the kids' nerdy references throughout the entire thing. Like, they kept, you know, questioning whether the cop was for real or not, or like a traitor, and they kept calling him Lando.
Yeah, Dustin's like, I told you, Lando!
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 And they all, it was like Lando throughout. It was so funny. It was just awesome.
Like some people would say Judas as the betrayer, and like, no, with these kids, it's not Judas.
No.
The ultimate betrayer is Lando Calrissian.
Which I totally get.
Yeah, I get it too.
It's amazing. Yeah, and like, it's funny because I thought that the Dustin character was going to bother me, kind of like be annoying, but I kind of thought that he was very lovable. Like, I loved how he had a drama club shirt on. I was like, yes, of course he has a drama club shirt on.
Of course they're part of AV Club.
Yes.
They're in drama club.
They're correcting people about, you know, Lord of the Rings, no, The Hobbit,
And like, I love like Lucas is just like, what does it matter? Shut up. It's like, he asked. It's The Hobbit.
That's right.
I related to these kids
a lot
on a very a deep emotional level.
It's true. It's so true. Yeah. We were, you know, never Dungeons and Dragons.
No, I've never done Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah,
I never went
but
that far.
We definitely appreciated all of their fun references throughout the entire thing.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Yeah, which made them just lovable and, mm-hmm. you know, cause that's how kids would talk, which is just fun.
And also, like, Dustin's character had a lisp, and when we first started hearing him talk, I was like, oh my God, are we going to have to hear this kid with a lisp? Why does he have a lisp? Why did they hire a kid with a lisp? Lisps are so distracting. They're not cute. And then you realize that it was like, oh, it's because he has a physical condition.
Yeah.
And that adds to his character because they
he gets picked on
by bullies. Mm-hmm. And it was another example of me going, oh, and then finding out, oh no, this is real character depth and there's a reason why.
Exactly. Yeah. Which I thought was really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I kind of liked how, you know, they're just a group of misfits, but it was a very believable way.
Yes.
You know, like they hung out together. And they, you know, they cared about each other deeply,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they each had something that probably people would make fun of,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, they kind of found their strength together, which was really cool.
And they didn't shy away from it either, which I thought was mm-hmm. really cool because, like, the bullies came and made fun of the 3 remaining kids, and they made fun of Lucas for being black.
Mm-hmm.
They made fun of the... they made fun of Mike because he had, like, they called him Frog Face because he had, like, he has, like,
dog face or something.
Something like that. He's a very angular face. And then they made fun of Dustin because he has that...
No teeth, yeah.
Like, no upper front teeth or anything like that. And it was just... I mean, all of these kids probably really... Like, well, obviously, Lucas is black, and that's what Mike's face looks like. And Dustin, I'm sure, had some sort of issue that where he didn't have his front teeth or his top teeth at all. And the writers didn't shy away from that. Mm-hmm. And normally...
They kind of used it to show that kids are mean, you know?
Kids are horrible.
Yeah, and it was just... It was interesting because I felt like the bully situations weren't so unrealistic that... Like, yeah, kids get that way. They get really mean and vicious. And
sometimes, like, incredibly violent.
Yeah, and I thought that was really interesting. It was funny when Mike actually decided to jump off the quarry... you were like, I hope Dustin realizes how good of a friend Mike is. Like, never question again whether he's his best friend. Because
he just... literally jumped off a cliff for him.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, that brings me to another point. The CGI usage in the show was done very sparingly, but done very well.
Yeah, I thought so too.
It was not a CGI show.
Mm-mm.
But when it needed to use it, it used it well in a very... well-integrated way. Was there things that were obviously CGI?
Of course.
It's a TV show. It's a streaming show. You know, they're not going to have an Independence Day budget. But it was like, there's so many sci-fi shows out there that rely so heavily on CGI and, you know, like throwing colorful graphics at you instead of story. This was the opposite.
Oh, yeah. It definitely relied on the story more than anything. I also liked how they didn't show the monster right away. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, the very first episode we saw, you know, like just this image of a shadow, you know, it was very dim light shadow, but we could tell like something is there. Mm-hmm. And then later on we see, you know, Nancy running through and seeing something, but you know, you can't really picture it. And then it was kind of like it kept leading up to seeing it more and more,
yeah.
Which I appreciated because I feel like sometimes they throw it at you and it's like you reveal the monster so early that there's no mystery there. Whereas by the time we actually saw the monster, we knew what it looked like and they had all these reports of, okay, this is what it looks like. It was like we could accept it in our mind of, yes, that is what we're seeing and we could see it more because other characters had seen it.
It remained scary all throughout all eight episodes.
Yeah, it did.
That's hard to do.
It's true. I thought it was really cool when it was like, it was using, you know, like when Jonathan, Stevie, and Nancy were in the house and they kept trying to figure out where it was coming from and they had their weapons. And I thought that was really cool because it kept coming from different angles and stuff. And I thought that was a really neat way to use a small space to really scare you of like, where is this thing going to come from? But they were ready. It was just a cool thing how they had like prepared all these traps and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing that goes to the editing, where the production design was great. The editing was great. You were never lost. They never did so much fast cutting where you felt like you were in a Jason Bourne movie or anything like that. It was done very methodically, and they didn't they hid the things that they needed to keep it scary, but then they also showed it to you at the right time to actually scare you.
Yeah.
And I just think this was stellar writing, stellar acting, stellar production design, and it's the people are calling it the surprise hit of the summer.
Yeah, it's awesome, and it's nice to have something this summer like this where, you know, something to look forward to. Now, I am curious to see where they're going to go with it because they're possibly going to do a season two.
Yes. I mean, it was such a big hit. Like it's only been out for 2 weeks, but everybody's talking about it. Everyone loves it. And so they'd be fools not to do a season two. When we were watching it, I was like, this feels like it's going to be an anthology show. I was like, this feels like it's going to be like American Horror Story or True Detective or something like that, where we get a different story each season, and but it sounds like they're going to continue it.
Yeah, which I think will be interesting because we were talking about it. These kids are going to get older really fast. I mean, kids grow up so much in those years.
Especially at 12 years old.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, give them a year and their voice are changed. You know,
like, well, they even said that like the character of Dustin, like from beginning of production to end of production, they could no longer use him to do ADR, audio dialogue replacement, because his voice changed.
Oh my gosh.
So they had to had to loop it with a different actor.
They're going to have to do something with like time to make it. Okay, question. So the cop put Eggos in that little box.
Right.
What does that mean to you?
I have no idea. I don't know if that means that she's existing in the woods, or like she's just like she's out there, or if it means that somehow that box is a conduit to the other side. Maybe she's living full time in the other side because she can actually protect herself there from the monsters. I have no idea what it means. I thought she was actually gone and dead, because as the show was progressing and Mike was talking about how, oh, you know, we can go to the dance together.
Yeah, I knew that she was gone at that point.
Right, at that point, you're just like, oh, well, it's much cleaner if she dies.
Yes.
Like, just from a story standpoint, it's much cleaner. You don't have to deal with that falling action where it's just like, oh, you're going to live with us now. And, like, this is your room. Like, there was just no room
I for liked that. Yeah. I liked that finality. You know, like, okay, goodbye, Mike. She's gone.
She's gone.
Yeah. And she sacrificed herself. And there was a purpose to her. So I'm interested to see where they go with that. I'm not sure if I'll like where they go with that, because I kind of liked how it wrapped up. And I also kind of liked how, okay, there's this, Mike has a secret. Will has a secret, where he, you know, is throwing up.
Like, he was in the Upside Down for a week.
Right.
And so it's changed him in a way that we don't understand.
Correct.
We don't know if it's mental or just physical.
Right.
And yeah, because he throws up this weird slug.
Mm-hmm.
And so you know that something's off, something's wrong, something's going to come from that.
Right.
And
see, I kind of wish that they, I love these characters. Okay, don't get me wrong. Yeah. I think they're awesome.
I know what you're going to say.
But I kind of think with the title Stranger Things, tell a different story next year.
I think I'm kind of with you on that.
Tell a different story. Like, this chapter's done. Leave it Twin Peaks style. Like, is something still lurking? Mm-hmm. Is she alive? It's okay to kind of leave it that way. And I feel like there's so many times where we can't. Where, you know, because we like something doesn't mean necessarily that we have to have more.
Yes. I mean, here's the thing, though. I completely agree with you.
Okay.
100%. Because as I was watching it, and as they were tying it up, and things were started to be have loose ends, once they showed like the Eggos in the box, I was like, oh, cool. That's one thing to make us question.
Yes,
you know, like,
is
she still
that
out there? What's going on? And but then once we saw Will throw up the slug, I was like, oh, they're gonna come back for season two.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have multiple threads, you have to come back. But if you have just one,
it's true.
You can kind of leave it like Nolan style, where it's just like, well, did it happen? Did it not?
Yeah.
But okay, here's the thing: is that like, even though we kind of wanted it to be end, because these are great 8 episodes. This is a complete story. This is a great story, and they can really only screw it up at this point. Both you and I were like, oh man, I wish there was more.
It's true.
We said
it
that.
It is true. We did say that. I was like, oh man, we only have one more? Oh no.
So from a production standpoint, from a Netflix standpoint, if their entire audience is going, oh man, I wish there was more, they kind of have to do a season 2.
I know, but I just think that it ended so well.
Yeah.
It ended very realistically. Well, I mean, as realistic as it can with this paranormal stuff going on.
Realistic in the terms of realistic motivation and character
yes.
action.
Yes. And I liked that it ended happy, but not so predictable.
Right.
Like, you know, Hopper wasn't with Joyce.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, he wasn't with her. Because, you know, you kind of thought maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe, maybe not.
Nancy stuck with Steve.
Steve.
Didn't go with John.
Right. But they were friends to, you know, Jonathan. You know, so it was just an interesting, I thought it was neat how they ended it where everyone's happy, but maybe not the way that you wanted it to end.
Right. Right.
Which I liked.
I like that a lot.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think, I think that they have only opportunity to screw it up if they do it. Not that I wouldn't watch. But,
yeah, no, we'll watch.
And I really like those actors and everything. And they also have to adapt, because those kids are going to grow up and you have to change things.
Here's the thing, though. You and I are really great at compartmentalizing shows, where, like, Fringe, season 4 and season 5, god-awful pieces of crap. We still rewatch seasons 1, 2, and 3.
It's true.
And we love that show.
That's
true. But we stop at season 3.
It's true.
And like Raising Hope, we just started watching that today again. Season, like, it had four seasons. Season two was so horrible we couldn't even finish it, but we rewatch season one all the time.
Yeah, it's true.
So I feel like if they screw up with season two, we'll always have
season one. That's true. You're right. Yeah, but I love when Netflix comes out with shows like this because it just makes me so happy.
Especially when it's a surprise like this where you're just like, I didn't even know this was coming.
Yeah.
Like House of Cards, we knew was coming for a long time.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. We were looking for that one.
Oh, yes.
All right. Well, I think that's a good place to end.
I think so, too.
Hopefully you guys liked it as much as we did. If you did, or even if you didn't.
Yeah, tell us.
Write us in an email. Write us at contact@thenerdparty.com. Or you can go to nerdparty.com and hit contact from there. You can also find me on Twitter at @TheInsaneRobin. You can find us on Facebook, too. There's no excuse not to reach out to us. You can go to facebook.com/TheNerdParty. And you can find, at our website and on Facebook, you can find all of our shows. We have this show, which you should subscribe to. And also, if you write us a review, if you write us a 5-star review, we'll mention you on the podcast. And we haven't gotten some new ones in a while, so come on, listeners. Step up just a little bit. And we appreciate it, because it's a way to help out the show, and it costs you nothing. But another way to help out the show, it'll cost you a little bit, but you're getting the better end of the deal here, where... If you go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty, enter in code nerdparty, you can get a Geekbox subscription. We're talking Pop Funkos, t-shirts, action figures, comic books. It's all amazing stuff. Some of it is explicitly licensed just for this Geekbox. And you'll get over $40 worth of material for $20. And if you go to lootcrate.com/nerdparty, enter in the code nerdparty, you'll save even more money off of that. And some other shows that you can tune into is The Senate Floor, which is a show that I host with Matt Hansen and Lee Hutchison. And you can also listen to our Star Wars podcast at Aggressive Negotiations. So, Stranger Things, we definitely recommend it. Hopefully you did not listen to this or are hearing my voice right now if you have not seen it, because we ruined a lot of things for you.
It's true. And next week, we are going to talk about Suicide Squad.
That's right.
Which is long anticipated for us.
This week I'm going to Vegas, mm-hmm. and then I'm going to come back and we're going to see Suicide Squad, and then we're going to talk about it.
That's right.
Well, I love you.
I know.